As a business owner, it's important to keep your business connected. Spectrum Business is committed to keeping your business online whenever and wherever you need us, all backed by the Spectrum Commitment. Get fast, reliable internet starting at $40 per month when bundled, or level up your internet speed and get a 3-year price guarantee. Learn how Spectrum Business can help your business stay connected at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Man, I wish we had better news coming off this weekend. But Bob, it was a disaster. The second time in two weekends they were swept at home. Now they go on the road and they got the Angels, who are way better than anybody expected, and the Dodgers. Now, there have been some strange series over the past couple of years where the Pirates have fared very well against the Dodgers.
Like 5 out of 6.
And I can't wait to watch Paul Skenes pitching in L.A. Can you? That's going to be a spectacle.
Yeah, I think that'll be awesome. But he'll probably have to go against, who knows if it's going to be Tyler Glasnow, which would be interesting.
He was hurt, I thought.
Was he hurt?
Yeah. Okay, well, right then, now it's supposed to be Skenes against Yamamoto, which is a nice little matchup.
Yamamoto's another one, a $300 million guy. How many of them do they have on that roster?
Yamamoto is 3-1 with a 0.93 ERA. That's a hell of a matchup. And Hunter Green might be the best pitcher in baseball.
Yeah,
right,
he just
now
got rocked yesterday, though. He didn't look very good.
Yeah, but he is the fastest fastball in history, Bob, right now.
I know.
So there's other teams that have great young pitchers, too, and those teams have better lineups. But anyway, people unhappy, as you can imagine. Ben Cherington not helping matters with his surface level versus deep under the surface. 20,000 leagues under the sea, Bob. We could also go snorkeling. We've been talking about archaeology digs today, about being mechanics looking under the hood. We could be Jacques Cousteau, Bob, you and I. We could go looking for pirate hope in terms of stats if we go diving to the bottom of the ocean. You interested in that?
I'm not a deep diver there, and when it comes to oceans, no.
I just met a guy, an Uber driver in Florida, who was a deep sea diver. I'm like, the first thing I would be afraid of is I'm claustrophobic and I'd be afraid my oxygen would run out. Isn't that what you'd be thinking about, Bob?
Oh, without a doubt. I'd always worry about that, and I always want to look over my back.
Yeah.
Is there a shark near me? Is
right.
there something that's going to...
He says he's not afraid of sharks, this guy. That they don't want to attack you, and they probably won't. It's the probably that I said I had a problem with.
It's one of those percentages that there is there is a percentage chance that something bad can happen.
Right. Let's hear one more thing from Cherington, if we must. More surface level stuff?
This was him explaining basically an example of what the surface level stats are.
So, for example, we all know this, right? A hitter can hit a line drive to the shortstop and it can be caught, and that's an out. That's an outcome. That's an out. But if he hits that ball that hard at that trajectory consistently over time, over the course of the season, history tells us it's going to add up to hits a lot of the time. So it's basically looking at what has actually happened and then what would we have expect to happen over the course of the season if a hitter continued to do these things.
I get it. And I think that that's an important tool. Like, I'm not going to bench. Let's just use Key Brian Hayes as an example. This guy's cracking the ball all around the field. I'm not saying he's doing that now, but if he was, I'd be saying if I was Shelton, you know what, he's hitting the ball hard all over the place. Let's keep playing him. That'll even out. I understand that. But when Cherington's talking about history as a guide and things like that, I would again ask, what's more predictive than past performance? And I would ask him, Jack Sawinski, Jared Triolo, Tommy Pham, Adam Frazier. I mean, if you have to dig 5 years into somebody's past to find something predictive, that's a problem. If you're Sawinski and you're still wanting 26 home runs that he got the 1 year, and you've seen absolutely nothing since then, that's a problem. What's more predictive, Bob, than past performance?
Exactly. That should be the number one thing. Well, okay, using that as a predictive measure, what if a guy hits like four cue balls, but he finds the holes, just little nubbers that he knows how to hit and find holes? No
sure.
velocity that. So what are we supposed to make of that? Then he really doesn't hit it hard, but he knows how to find holes. Does that mean he shouldn't play because he doesn't hit it hard?
No, but I don't think they have that problem.
No, the point is, look at the results. That's all I can look at. I can't, you know, Valdez hit a line drive to right yesterday. That may count for something in their eyes, but he also took 2/3 strikes that were called balls.
Right.
So,
right.
Which is worse?
That's and that also should be deep analytics.
Yeah, he should have been struck out. None of them.
Right. What's more important there, that he ended up with a line drive or that he should have struck out twice? That's
right.
A great point. And I commend you for that, Bob.
Well, thank you.
They're 8-15. They're going to play the Angels, and suddenly Mike Trout has 8 home runs. He's right up there at the top of the league. The Angels are better than we thought. They're sitting here at 11-10 just to have a winning record. They're better than we thought. After that, they have the Dodgers for 3 games, Bob. Then the Cubs at home for 3. Then the Padres for 3. How did they come out of that 3-6? How did they come out of that 12-game stretch? 4-8 or so?
I mean, like you said, there is a chance. All baseball teams go through winning streaks of some degree, even on bad teams. And you know, some of the good teams also go through bad things. The Dodgers started 8-0, and then they fell on a little some hard. So, but over the course of 162, you know the teams are going to rise up here. Can the Pirates actually do that against those quality of teams? Not when you're 8-15, you got to make up. The danger here is falling even further behind that. So that 81-58 mark you said that they need to get to be in position to get a wild card would have to be more like 89-50 or 46 or something, because these teams are good that are going to be playing. And
I never rule out anything. It's sports, it's baseball in April. But the Pirates need to go 81-58 to get to 89 wins, which got you needed that to get a wild card last year. Give them a few more, okay, 86 wins. Then you still have to win, 78-61. I can't believe that we're sitting here on April 21st.
It feels like the season's over. You like squashed a bug.
I'm timing that better. Let's take one more call to finish out the hour, shall we, Limits?
Well, I think we shall, and we shall go to Mount Lebanon, where Lucas wants to chime in.
Hi, Lucas.
Hey, guys. I love the show. Two quick points. One on kind of the Ben Cherington stuff. I will never apologize for Ben Cherington, so please don't take it this way. But there's a great book by Keith Law called Smart Baseball. What I like about it is the first kind of 3-4 chapters, he tells you why all the old stats are garbage, like batting average, RBI, ERA, things like that, and kind of how to handle and understand the new stats. So anyway, throw that out there for you. Great book. The second part.
Well, hold on. I'm going to jump in right there.
I get it.
And if I were running a baseball team, I would have analytics all over the place. I just read a great story about the Carolina Hurricanes GM too, and how they've gone to new heights with analytics. Totally get it. So you tell me what Ben Cherington was possibly thinking with Tommy Pham, who hit 206 for St. Louis last year. You tell me what he was thinking with Brian De La Cruz, who's now a step out of baseball, when he was their big acquisition. Please tell me what's going on in their analytics department where they could get all of these things so incredibly wrong when it seems obvious to the rest of the world based on the eye test and the deepest of analytics that he's bringing in subs.
Joe, you're 100% correct. I cannot defend Tommy Pham signing. He's awful. I'm a Padres fan, spent 14 years out in San Diego, and when he was with the Padres, he wasn't very good. And that was 6-7 years ago when he was 6-7 years younger, and he wasn't very good then. I mean, I think his last stretch of really good baseball was the Rays or the Cardinals. You know, we're pushing 8 to 10 years to talk about that. I don't know. I don't know how they use analytics inside their department.
Not well. I do. Not well. But go ahead.
You're right. Yeah. The second part is they have no identity. And my point on this is we know they're not going to spend money, right? Their last multi-season free agent contract signing, I think, was, what, 2016? I know the show's talked about it before, right? So we know they're not going to spend money. That is their history, right? They tell us, based off of their actions, that they're not going to sign a guy like Kyle Tucker. They're not going to sign a guy like Ha-Seong Kim, right? So if you are trying to pinch pennies, you know, maybe you're not going to have the slug. They have no slug on the team, right? But they also don't have any defense. Like, we see that. Like, you have IKF playing shortstop. You took your shortstop, you moved him to center field to get a very below average defensive center fielder now. And you see that all over the diamond. It's what is their identity, and how do you end up this far along in a rebuild to not have an identity? I think we could point to the Tampa Bay Rays and say they got an identity. They play really good defense. I went to the series when they came into town last year, and I know their center fielder, I think it was Series, no longer with the team, but he stinking dominated the Pirates that game that I watched. I mean, he was all over the field. Jose Siri, I think his name was, both defensively, got on base a couple times. You could tell they had an identity. It was speed, it was defense, and then you get some really young, good, talented arms, which we have at the Pirates, but we have nothing else. There's nothing else that you can point to and say, yeah, we got really good base running. No, the base running's awful.
Well, I think you make a good point there with the identity, for sure. And we know what they want their identity to be offensively, Bob. I think that's a scrappy, fast team that manufactures runs and wins in the margins.
But the margins are being blurred because their defense, if you're going to win by the margins, that means you have to be rock solid fundamentally. You can't be playing defense the way they do it or run the bases the way they do it. These are errors that will not allow you to complete games winning 3-2, 2-1 because you're making mistakes and unnecessary outs at third base, for example, 12 of them this year. That's too much.
Well, and this guy also talked about, you know, the ungettable players out there. How much did Kyle Tucker sign for this year?
1 year, $16.5 million this year.
$16.5 million. Now, I know there's the question of do people want to come to Pittsburgh, but if you tell Kyle Tucker, we'll give you $20 million for 1 year, I mean, do you think he would have come here?
16 is a bargain. I thought he was going to get more than that. If I were the Pirates, I would have I've been much more aggressive.
Kyle Tucker on this team's transformative.
If you look at history, the history on him suggests that he's going to be a big difference maker on a baseball team. That's what his history suggests after years in Houston. So, you know, the bottom line there is look at results. Don't look at anything else. The results tell you what he's going to be. And I don't agree at all with Keith Law's assertion that those old school stats are garbage. I don't agree with that at all. You could make use of all of those kinds of things. Sure, you want to take it to this metric overload that we see. But don't forget, it still matters what your batting average is. It does. If you can get on base a lot, that all matters. There are basic statistics to back that stuff up. Hard hit balls, velocity, apex, launch angles. Okay, good. You have all the metrics you want. Try to teach someone how to improve their launch angle without striking out 100 times.
Right. Now, there are some free agents who haven't turned out. Christian Walker's one. I think Jock Peterson's another. But again, with some of these guys, like Jock Peterson, I think he is going to hit. And he's going to hit home runs. And there's nothing, again, that's as predictive as past performance.